heads off and standing on the promises that cannot fail. That's what we're going to look at. Hebrews chapter 11. And like I said early on, I don't save the best messages for 11 o'clock. One at 10 o'clock, wonderful. And I thought so much as three ladies that were not here for. Somebody kept the nursery and those who taught the classes, and I thought, boy, I wish they could hear this. Well, I think they're going to. I'm going to say the same thing. This is why I got so confused this morning. Because I looked down at my notes, and I had us turning to Romans 8. And here again, we're going to turn to Romans 8. Hebrews 11. And a couple of times, Brother Henry, I thought, I've got the wrong notes here. I've got little tabs in my notebook that say Bible study and then AM worship, PM worship with my notes in it. And a couple of times I thought, am I looking at the wrong notes? Nope. Same. Write notes, just the same thing. Same messages. So you ladies are going to get to hear what we heard at 10 o'clock. Now, turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, turn there first. While I'm quoting to you a verse from Isaiah. The title of this message is Mindful of Better Things. Mindful of Better Things. Now listen to this. In Isaiah 62, it says this in verse 6. Isaiah 62:6. God says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. That means they keep saying something. And now here's what he says to these watchmen. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. In other words, keep making mention of the Lord. You hear that? Not just if you're with me, if you're alive, wiggle your little finger, okay? Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. And the margin says this about that. It says, it calls them that make mention of the Lord, calls them the Lord's remembrancers. Well, that is those who continually are reminded people of who the Lord is and what He's done. All right? And that's what I always remind. He said, don't be silent. Keep on reminding them of the Lord, the Lord's remembrancers. The same thing, and that's what I want to do this morning, is remind you and me of some things. Really only one thing. I want to remind you of this, all right? You know, I can remind you, listen to me, I can remind you and me of these things that only God can make you mindful. Fill your mind. All right, in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, it says this, in Romans 8, I got to turn there, I didn't turn yet. All right, Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Say this. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So that is, they that are in the flesh, they that are desire the flesh, do mind or think on, dwell on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, or that is, in the Spirit, those that are desirous of the Spirit, they are mindful or think about the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, every eye, young and old. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, that means those who only think of things of this world constantly. Those that are only mindful of and think about the things of this world constantly, and only mindful of this life, are dead. It's so prevalent in our youth, so obvious in our youth today, and many older people. But anyone who all they think about is what other people think, or peers, or what's going on. Anyone who only thinks about things, whether it be music, clothes, cars, school, things going on. That's all someone thinks about all the time. It takes up all their thoughts. D-E-A-D. Paul says in Colossians 3, now, examine yourself, young and old alike. What I just said, if that's what's on your mind all the time, it behooves you to listen to what I'm saying. If you want this faith without which it's impossible to please God, without which you'll never see God. All you think about is this world and the things of it. You're dead. Older people. It's all that takes up your thought. You're dead. The Colossians 3, verse 1 says, if you be risen with Christ, if you've been quickened by His grace, set your mind, the Martin said, on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Think on things above, not on things on earth. Don't be mindful of, don't always be thinking about things on the earth, but on things above where Christ sits. Now, not just young people, we all need this. Believer, every believer in here needs this to be mindful. I remind myself while I'm saying this. Paul said that, didn't he? If you be risen, if you are alive, set your mind. Not on that. To be carnally minded. All right. Now, Peter said, I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance that you might be mindful. What I'm trying to do, that you might be mindful. All right, Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11 is where we are. Hebrews 11. Look at two verses again with me in Hebrews 11. I won't take long. Hebrews 11, verses 15 and 16 says, truly, he's talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. These all died in faith. These were believers. These were believers. God says so. Now, truly, if they had been, verse 15, if they had been mindful of that country or that land or that place from whence they came out, the world they lived in, if they'd been mindful and always thinking about, looking for, pursuing after that place they'd come out of, if that's what was on their mind, they'd have had opportunity to have returned. When God said, Abraham, get out, and he took off, all he'd had on his mind was where he came from, the world and all that in it, he'd have turned right around and gone back. That's what he's saying. He'd have had opportunity to have returned. He'd have been mindful. That'd been on his mind all the time. That's what he'd have done. He'd quit. He'd gone back. Look at verse 16. But it says, but now. But now. But now. But God. But now they desire a better country. A better country. They're mindful of better things. Better place. Built on better promises. Better riches. Better joy. Better happiness. Better. They're mindful. Their mind is full of thinking about better things. Had their mind set on something better than this world had to offer. Huh? Enoch, Noah, Abraham.
But they lived a long time, people. They lived a long time, longer than any of us will ever live. They accumulated things. Isn't it? Abraham, whom we're going to look at, says it in Genesis, says he was rich in land, cattle, sheep. Yes, he accumulated. You live 175 years,
you're going to have some stuff. Huh? We live 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and we just got stuff running out of our ears, don't we? We live 365 years like Enoch, with children and the support. Now, you have some stuff. You're going to have to be responsible for that stuff. You have to work. You're going to have all this. But it wasn't what was on his mind, you see. See what I mean? See what he means? It wasn't what was on his mind, all right? They had the mind set on something better. By God's grace. They were looking for something better. What? What? All right, look at verse 13. It says this in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. You know what they were looking forward to? What they were living on? Thinking about? All the time? Promise.
Standing on the promise.
Living on, thinking about, looking forward to the fulfillment of
promise. Oh, preach, I can't live on a promise. I gotta have the real thing.
Who does the promise today? Genesis 12. Turn over there. Genesis chapter 12. See why I'm so confused? I turned over there at 10 o'clock, you know, Genesis 12, and I thought, where am I? What time is it? Genesis 12 speaks of Abraham, the calling out of Abraham, and he's called the father of the faithful. The Lord uses him as an example of all believers. Romans and Galatians. Abraham is spoken of very often as the example of God's saving, calling, electing grace and faith. All right? Genesis 12, look at verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, who's that talking about? Abraham. Huh? For Abraham's seed. Well, you're getting close. But it ain't Isaac. You see, therefore, sprang there up of one, and him as good as dead.
A whole multitude of people.
Who? Isaac? Well, no. But see, we're talking about Christ here. This is speaking about Christ here. These first three verses are Jesus Christ. Look at it again now. Here it is. He says, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Isn't that the Lord Jesus Christ who left his father's house? Left heaven, his country, heaven. Come to this land that God had shown him. This land. Look at this. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. Who? The Jews say, we be Abraham's seed. Hey, I'm looking for somebody better. I want to be in a better family. Don't you? That bunch of Jews, children of Abraham, that bunch of rebels. They don't even believe in Jesus Christ. That's a better family I won't be looking for long to. I won't be a Jew anymore. I won't be of the seed of the seed. The woman's seed, not only Sarah. Read on. I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great. Oh, there's a name much better than Abraham. Isn't it? There's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth, the song says. Who? Abraham?
Oh, it's better than that name.
The name which is above every name. The only name given among men, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The Lord. Read on. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You're going to be the blessing. Abraham's dead. He can't bless me. Christ lives. He said, I live. He blessed me. Read on. I'll bless them that bless thee. Here's the promises. People, here's the promises that I'm standing on. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be. All the Father that giveth to me cometh to me, and him that cometh to me, Christ, I will in no wise, here's a promise, Brother John, I will in no wise, I don't care what it is, when it is, what anybody says, no way. Standing on the promise. I'll bless them that bless them. And I'll curse them that curse thee. He that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, let him be anathema, maranatha, go to hell when the Lord comes. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In who? Abraham? Christ. Oh, Christ is the blessing. And the promise is unto Abraham and his seed. I'll bless all who bless the seed. That's Christ. All right? Peter said at Pentecost. He said this, the promise is unto us and unto our children. This promise is unto us and our children. Turn over to Romans 4 with me. Romans 4, okay? Now, like I said earlier, I can remind you of these things, but I can't make you mindful. Right now, I wish that I could make somebody mindful, that I could grab a hold of somebody, particularly a young person. Several young people I got in my mind right now. I wish I could grab a hold of them and say, would you listen to this? But I can't do it. Can't make you mind. God alone can make a person mind. I sat and listened and listened. I had ears to hear, but I did not hear. Until God bless his holy name. In mercy and grace, made me mind. Carnally minded. I'm thinking about, that's all I did is think about these things. Even sitting in the worship service, listening to this glorious message, and just wasn't mindful of my mind was on other things. God make them mind. Make me mind. Well, here in Romans 4, okay, same old, but look at this. And this is true for everybody. I mean, people have been sitting and listening to the gospel for a long time. Preaching gospel. Sunday school teacher. Even listening to this and hearing this. Preacher's been hearing this, Romans 4, for years. Lord, make me mindful of it. Impress this to my mind and heart. Look at it, Romans 4, the promises, verse 3. through 5. Romans 4, verses 3 through 5 says, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Anybody needs righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. How you get it? Not by the law. Him that believeth is counted unto him for righteousness, holiness, acceptance with God forevermore. Blessed promise. Anybody needs that. Here's the promise. You got it in Christ. Amen. I'll stand on that. Now, verse 4. Now to him that worketh not. No, it's of grace. It's of grace. To him that worketh not, verse 5, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly. Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? Huh? God justifies. Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. Him that believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. I'm ungodly. Yeah, I am by nature. Sinner. Oh, I need justification. Well, his faith is powerful. His faith? Whose faith? His faith. That's how it reads in his faith. His faith. David, verse 6. Now, people, these verses I'm about to read to you, Brother Todd and I, when he was laying on his deathbed, I mean the man, brain was swelling, and they said, they didn't think he's going to live. Now, buddy, when you hit that point, you're going to need some promises. And he said these two verses here that are taken from Psalm 32, he said, just be transported. This is what his whole joy and hope and comfort and peace and assurance and everything was based on. Look at it. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. That God reckons to me a perfect holiness that I didn't have anything to do with. Blessed. How do you know you got that, preacher? He promised. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Any sinners in here, huh? I mean Romans 7 sinners. Black, like the woman, Shulamite maiden said, I'm black. David, the Psalm 38 sinner. Now my sins are over my head. He said, blessed, here's a blessed promise. Sins are covered. God doesn't say that. The only reason this is not precious to most people is because they think they got rid of their own sin. Yeah, people think, oh, I quit that, I quit this, I accept the gift. There's a little part of salvation, you know. You accept Jesus, and that's kind of like an insurance policy there. You know, you got that. That's the ace in the hole, you know. But then you live right and quit this and quit your sinning and all that. Then, hey, you sin, you a sinner? No, they're gone. They're gone. Why? Because I quit. Oh, my, that's the sinner. He'll say that cover. Under the blood. Under the blood. Oh, verse 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Not one. You remember my dad telling that story about when he had that car wreck as a young man. Remember that? Remember that? You remember? He told it another. You remember? He didn't tell it here. Good. Oh boy. Good. I'm glad. I told him before, I said, Dad, would you please write down all your illustrations for me? Get a cassette tape out if you don't feel like writing them down, and copy them, record them so I can have them. So you're going to die soon.
And I want to use those illustrations.
For he told this story, it's a true story. It happened to him. As a young man, he's in his early 20s, and he's driving a great big Packard, like a 38 Packard or something, you know. Those things are 112 feet long, you know, weighs 4 million pounds, see. And he said he was driving down the road, and a bunch of them were in the car with him, and he was talking and all that and didn't pay attention and ran through a stop sign and plowed into a car broadside. Totally demolished him. That's all. And he hurt him. Man. He was guilty. I mean, running a stop sign, reckless driving, endangerment of life, just through the book of it. Every time. And he was subpoenaed to go to court to answer to the charges. And a few weeks went by, and all, you know, you can imagine what he was, oh, he was so nervous and upset, and his dad, my grandfather, went with him to the court date. And he said they sat there. They sat there while the court was going on, and it said case after case was being tried. Case after case, there's a bunch of them in front of them being tried. And the judge, he said, sitting up there in his black robe, he said, the longer I sat there, the more I saw that judge, I was just shaking in my seat. I'm guilty. I hope I get to it. But he said the judge was just guilty. 30 days. Boom. 60 days. Boom. Just laying the law down. And he said, now all, every one of them were tried but him. And he said, when that court was empty, except him and his dad sitting there. This is true. So he and his dad was sitting there, and the court was empty. It was just them. The judge was looking down at the paper and looked up and said, and what can I do for you? And he said, he stood up and said, beg your pardon, Honor, Your Honor, but we were just supposed to appear here today in court. And what's your name? He said, Henry Mayhem. He said, I can't find it. There's nothing on the record. Said you're supposed to be here. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. I'm going to stand there someday, guilty, as charged, and he's going to say, there's nothing here. Oh, my. You said, blessed promises. Well, how do you know, preacher? He promised. The judge said so. Because God hath appointed a day in which he, Christ, will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Oh, boy. Well, I'm running out of time. Back to Hebrews 11. You see, this is more than doctrine, and I can't make anybody love and desire these things. My. These promises. I'm going to tell you about them. Only God can make you want it. And say, oh, I need that working. I don't need new this, new that. I need a new heart. Only God can do that. Well, look here at Hebrews 11. Here's faith's reaction. All right? Those are some of the promises. Man, that's just all right. And here's the reaction of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. Haven't seen them. We've seen them. All the promises of God in Christ. glory of God in the face of Christ. I haven't seen them. And it says, and they were persuaded of them. And I can tell you about them, but I can't persuade you that you need them. I can tell you the blessing of them, I can't persuade you that I'm blessing them. I can preach the gospel. Somebody else can preach the gospel. Young people, your teachers can teach you the gospel, but they can't persuade you. Well, God persuaded Abraham. He persuaded a few people in here. What's this persuasion? Faith persuasion. What is it? Oh, it says over in another place, he persuaded that what God had promised in Galatians, what God had promised, He's able. He's able to perform. Oh, my. Up there, and I didn't get to it this morning, verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. He judged him faithful. Like I was saying this morning, if you'd asked Abraham, what's your hope? What is your hope that you called on God? Abraham would say, I didn't call God. I didn't call on Him. I was an idolater 75 years ago. And God called me. That's my hope. God called me. And He has begun a good work. That's my hope. He promised He's going to finish it. Yeah, but Abraham, lived a faithful life now. Oh no. Oh no, Abraham would have said, I absolutely deny the Lord. Time and again, and acted like an unbeliever. Although God promised. Well, you've been true, though. Oh no. No, no. Unfaithful to my God, unfaithful to my wife. What do you believe? I believe He's able. Well, now that you're a Christian, Abraham, now that you're leaving the victorious life, now, surely, oh, no, that's not my faith. He's able. Oh, my faith says this. He's able. That what He promised, He's able to perform. I'm not able. Sarah, what about you? Sarah, you had a baby, didn't you? She said, I had a baby. She laughed. You remember when Sarah laughed? She wasn't laughing at God. She was laughing at the thought of a 90-year-old woman having a baby. What if I said, Violet, you're going to be pregnant? Look, she's laughing now. She's laughing now. Sarah laughed, didn't you? Aren't you able to have a baby, Sarah? Sinner, aren't you able to save yourself? Oh, no. But He's able. With man, it's impossible. With me, it's impossible. But with God, the impossible. Could a teenager be interested in Jesus Christ? Teenager? Are you kidding? No, I'm not. It's possible. God. He persuaded. Persuaded of the certainty of the things God said. You read the Titanic? All the warnings, boats going down. The ship's on. Well, He said all God said, I believe. Yeah, everything's written, I believe. I'm persuaded. Look at the next thing. It says He embraced them. Here's faith's persuasion. Here's faith's embrace. See, it says he embraced them. Verse 13. He persuaded of these things God said and the promises and all. He embraced them. It's one thing to acknowledge the truth. It's one thing to be a Calvinist. It's one thing to know God's sovereign. It's one thing to know Christ as Savior. It's a whole, it's salvation to hug up to it. That's what embrace means, doesn't it? Maurice didn't coin that phrase, Brother Joe. God did. Embrace means hug up. Hug up. Paul said some people hold the truth, but in unrighteousness, at arm's length. Some people hold the truth, but I know it says that, but I'm going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Receive the Lord.
See the difference? Embraced it. Embraced it by God's grace. Hug up. Kiss the truth. What's the truth? Kiss the Son. Lest he be angry. And you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled just a little. We think we've seen God's power. Hurricane, whatever its name is. Here's another thing for faith's reaction. It says they confessed. Confessed.
And I was going to have you turn to this, but don't turn.
Over in 1 Peter 4, it says that your old buddy that you used to run with, think it strange if you run not to the same excess of riot. They did. Thank you, strange man. And you'll have to confess. Do you confess now? Can you tell your old cronies, I got something to confess? I'm just not interested in what I used to be interested in. Something better. Someone. Captivate my. Strangers. Confess as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Oh, politics and social issues and all that. Listen, when I'm mindful of those things, when I'm mindful of the trouble, you know, stock market, aren't you worried? And as they say, the boom's going to fall. Well, I've known that a long time. Aren't you worried, though? If you be mindful of those things, you know, you just, you know, it's God's sovereign. Jehovah Jireh. My granddad lived through the Depression. He had a house, lost it all. Ended up being a tenant farmer. Working for somebody daubing mud between logs. God, Jehovah Jireh. I'm persuaded, Jehovah Jireh. You persuaded Jehovah Jireh? He embraced him, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Strangers, pilgrims. Pilgrims, what's a pilgrim? Do you remember the pilgrims, young people? What were the pilgrims? Well, they left old England and looking for a new world. Huh? Pilgrims. That's what pilgrims are, those who travel a long way looking for something. Huh? Well, I confess. I'm looking for something better. I really am, huh? How about you? And look at the text here, verse 14. They that say such things declare plainly. How about you, people? Do you say such things? Of the abundance of the heart, that the mouth saith. Huh? Or, you know, all the time, the only thing you're thinking about is what you've been talking about. This and that, no, let tomorrow just run here, do that, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. Is that what you think about? What you say? if you say these things.
They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country they came out of, they'd have had opportunity and had returned. Opportunity to return. And they could go back. Some people leave this gospel. Some people leave the gospel. Let me ask you the question that Christ asked his disciples. Will you also go away? You know that, you know, we preach sovereign grace, don't we? We preach sovereign grace kept by the power of God. Do you know that sovereign grace gives persons a choice? Don't be shocked now. Sovereign grace gives persons a choice, but only one. They have no other choice. Huh? Peter said, God had called him. God had saved him. God had been working on him, huh? Put him mindful of these things. Which Peter said, I want you to be mindful of. Peter, will you also go away? What? To whom?
Shall we go? I got no other choice but to stay. Sovereign grace gives persons a choice, but only one. Only one. We have no other choice. Well, they say, those of faith say they desire a better country. A better country. I desire better. I desire better. Don't you? We're religious, folks, man. Right, we're religious. We are. We're in religion. But I tell you, I desire a better God than religion today. Don't you? I need a God to God. How about you? That's what I confess. My God. I need a Christ who's Christ. I need a Jesus whose name means just that. Huh? I need a rock that's better than their rock. A hiding place where I anchor a hope. I need a gospel that's a whole lot better than the one they're preaching today. I need one that's saved. How about you? I need a redeemer that redeems. I need blood that actually covers.
Better. I need better. Don't you? I need better. I need a better Bible.
I need a Bible that says all the promises of God in Him are yes! Amen! Exclamation point. That's the Bible I need. Not one said, well, yes, no, maybe. He said this, but he didn't mean that. I need one that says the heaven and earth going to pass away, but not a word of mine shall pass away. Better. I need a better Bible. I need a better hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. I need a better riches. Eternal. We're in the heaven. Huh? And it says, God, wherefore? Those that say such things. God's not ashamed to call. Think of that just a minute. See, if that doesn't, my dad say, flip your switch. If God's not ashamed, why? I'm absolutely shameful. I'm a shameful creature. God's not ashamed to call me his child. He called my God. I've been ashamed of him at times. To hear faith. He's able. He's faithful. He abides in faith. That's all my hope. Isn't it you? All my hope was his promise. Believe him. And you'll receive it. Sure thing, because it's in surety. A God who can't lie. All right.
So, Joe, what's 268. That's how firm a foundation is. You saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent work. Stand and sing.